This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Give yourselves a big round of applause. Thank you all so much for coming out to Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and this has been such a fun show. It's about to get even better. I'm very excited. I've got Chris Doty, who's running for governor of Massachusetts. He's coming on with us now. Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
Grace, I am so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
And we are thrilled to have you, and we're very much looking forward to this next hour. I will say that we are having you here as part of the equal time situation, just so everybody knows. And we're going to mostly let the callers do the talking here, but I did want to ask you, Jeff Kooner recently had Jeff Deal on his program, and a lot of people were wondering why you didn't go on.
Well, thanks so much, and I really appreciate this hour to respond because I felt like I didn't get to offer an explanation for that. So ever since we got on the ballot, we've had multiple requests for debates. In fact, to this point, we've had 11 requests for debates. I've accepted every one of them. One of them, which was the Kooner debate, I had one condition, and the condition was I would go on and do the Kooner show if my opponent Jeff would do one televised debate, because I think televised debates are just equally as important to
yes.
sort of see people, and he was not willing to do any televised debates, and so as a result of that, we didn't go on the Kooner show. However, I had agreed to 10 other debates. He's been hiding in the basement on all of them. And recently came out and said he wouldn't even go talk to the Boston Globe or any of the press. It just shows that he's just not prepared to be governor. Because if you want to be governor, you have to defend your position. You have to be willing to do the press. You have to do debates. It's part of the job of being governor. And so we all have to remember that that my opponent Jeff has done this before, right? He's gone through three different elections. He's lost every single one of them. So he ran for his own home state Senate district, and he lost that. He ran for the U.S. Senate, and he lost that by one of the largest margins in our state. Even ran for the state party committee, and he lost that. So he has a history of doing this, of not going out to the press and making his pitch and convincing people to vote for him. And that's my concern, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm running, because we have to put up a candidate that can actually beat Maura Healey. And that's what this whole campaign is about beating Maura Healey. And so that's why I'm here. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be on and to present my case. I'm so excited about the plans and the initiatives and what we want to accomplish in Massachusetts. I'll do every debate and I'll do every press because I just feel so excited about where I want to take the state and where we need to go.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. A question I have for you is, and this is kind of a vague question, so I'm sure, you know, you're a politician, you can spin it any way you want. But I think something I hear from a lot of my listeners and from a lot of voters here in Massachusetts is they're sick of voting for people who look good on paper, who say the right thing, and then turn into rhinos the second they get around the swamp. How can you guarantee voters in Massachusetts that if they vote for you, you're not going to turn your back on them, which we've seen over and over and over again?
Well, I'm a businessman. I'm not a career politician. I have not grown up in the political landscape. I'm not backed by any political machines. You have to realize a lot of times politicians become dependent on those that funded their campaign. And that's just not the case for me. I come in funding a lot of my own campaign. I'm here to help. This is my give back to the state. So I'm just not beholden to all those interests that other politicians are. I walk in as a businessman with an executive career with my own perspective of where I want to go and where I want to take the state.
As a businessman, when you look at what's happening with the MBTA, now we're looking at an unprecedented shutdown of the Orange Line. They've had a slew of issues really since the beginning, but particularly over the last couple months. What do you see when you look at that? What do you think needs to change? Do you have any fresh ideas? Do you have an idea of where you would go first day in office? What would you do differently?
You know, this question and this issue at the MBTA really speaks to my background and my experience. I come from a large industrial manufacturing company with old assets and old equipment that we have to maintain every day. We depend on our equipment. So I really have the background and experience to deal with these things in the MBTA. Several weeks ago, we put out our plan, which is on our website, chris4ma.com. If I just highlight three high-level areas, one is I want to make sure that we have safety in place. And so I've been ahead of a safety committee for decades. I'm familiar with checklists and the things that the airline industry does to make sure planes don't fall out of the sky. And I would implement a lot of those same principles in the MBTA for safety. Number two is the finances. The finances are really in trouble on the MBTA. It's losing a tremendous amount of money. It's cash flow negative. The pensions are unfunded. So I've done financial turnarounds for three decades. And so we need a financial turnaround and someone that can walk in and fix those problems. Lastly is getting the employee engagement. The key to these kind of problems will be fixed in the rail yard, not the boardroom. What I will not do is what Maura Healey said. Maura Healey announced that she was going to fire all the top three managers. I just want you to know, I would never do that. I would never take a public servant and publicly announce I was going to fire them in advance. I think that's bad politics, and I think it's bad management to be that vocal about it. Perhaps there are changes that need to be made in the top, but I certainly would not throw people under the bus in the newspaper. They have families, they have children, they have a community. I just wouldn't do that. The second thing is she's beginning to set expectations that she's going to have free buses and free MBTA without fixing the underlying financial problems. Again, as a manager and as a governor, I would never set expectations to get votes to try and say, here, I'm going to give everything away free. Please vote me in, knowing that I probably can't do that given the current financial situation.
I'm speaking with Chris Doty, who's running for governor of Massachusetts. We do have full lines. We're going to get to those in one second. I have one more question for you, though.
Yeah.
I know right now it's the summertime and COVID is kind of, it's on the back burner. Not a lot of people are paying attention to it, but there's a very real chance that it starts to surge again. And then there's talks of masks and there's talks of shutdowns. How do you think Charlie Baker handled the COVID lockdowns? And what would you do in the future if you get a lot of people demanding that you lock down the state of Massachusetts?
Oh, Grace, I hope that we're on the off ramp. I hope this is over for all of our sakes. I think the next governor has to come in and get us out of COVID. And we've got to get back doing activities again. I think the fairs and the parades that I've been in this whole summer have been so wonderful. I've heard from so many people, they were just so great to finally be out of lockdown. So I hope as governor, I can bring some hope and optimism and get us back out enjoying our lives and enjoying the beauty of this wonderful world that we have and of Massachusetts. We can travel again and be with our families. So I hope to bring a spirit of hope and optimism and looking forward and not spending time looking backwards. So if there is another pandemic, which I hope there's not, I certainly would be informed by lots of states and trying to figure out what's the best way. Now, in my own situation, I had 300 employees here in Massachusetts, depending on me. And what I did is I educated and I taught. We taught about it, but we certainly didn't put in mandates. We didn't fire anyone. We didn't do any of those things.
Okay, let's go to the callers here. Chris Doty is running for governor of Massachusetts. Let's start with Amanda. You're first up with Chris. Go ahead, Amanda.
Hey, Mr. Doty. How are you doing today?
Good, Amanda.
I'm just wondering, can you tell us about your running mate, Kate Campanelli, and how you two will be a team as governor and lieutenant governor?
Oh, thanks, Amanda. Well, if you haven't had a chance to meet Kate Campanelli, I think you'll be absolutely delighted when you meet her. So Kate is from Worcester, fifth generation from Worcester. Her father was in the trades. Her mother was a school teacher. Kate had served a number of years in the state legislature. So she brings sort of legislative experience, which I need coming from the business world. And she was on the House Ways and Means Committee, has a deep experience. She also, when she left the legislature, she went and she was a school teacher and teaching in the school district. So she's very close to the issues going on within education. Kate and I work really well together. And I can't say this, we're really fortunate in the Republican Party that we run as a ticket. Now, this has been happening for 30 years here in Massachusetts, where the governor and the lieutenant governor, they run together. And they get to know each other, and they build relationships, and they learn how to work together. For almost a year, Kate and I will be working together. As opposed to the other party, they select the governor, and then they select a separate lieutenant governor. It's sort of an arranged marriage, if you will. It's been a failure in many places around the country. It's been a failure here in Massachusetts, having these arranged marriages of the governor and the lieutenant governor. So I'm just delighted to work with Kate, and I'm delighted that we as Republicans have this system where we go together on a ticket.
All right, let's go to Nicholas. You're next up with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Hi, Mr. Doty. How are you this morning?
Good, Nicholas.
I just have a question. What are you going to do about property taxes?
Well, that's a really good question. We recently, a couple weeks ago, we put out our tax plan. And I'm really excited about our tax plan. And I'm grateful to be here today to share my tax plan. It's on our website. So I won't go into all the details. But let me just share a few highlights of our tax plan. One is, we are proposing that we reduce our sales tax from 6.25% down to 5% right away. This will help the northern states. It's going to help put money in people's pockets right away. Number two is we want to put forth a gas tax holiday, not forever, but for a period, so people's wallets can get accustomed to the high cost of inflation right now. And a lot of states have done it. I don't know if you've read recently, but Connecticut just recently put through a gas tax holiday. The last thing I want to highlight is that we are proposing that we begin sending more money from the state government down to the local towns and cities so that we can begin lowering everyone's property taxes. This is one of the biggest struggles in our state, particularly for senior citizens, where the property taxes keep going up and up and up. And the state keeps taking more and more of our money and not giving it back. As governor, on day one, I want to work aggressively to start sending the money back to the citizens and the towns. I talked to this man the other day, Nicholas. He was a senior citizen. He said he bought his house. It was about $80,000. It's now valued at about $800,000 after 40 years. His property taxes are almost more than his Social Security. So guess what? He's faced with his choice, which is to leave his house that he loves and move to a state-operated senior center. I mean, what a heartbreak. So we've got to start bringing down our property taxes. We've got to start bringing down our other taxes. And this is particularly painful for me because 30 states in America have already begun lowering their taxes on their citizens because of the large surpluses and the high inflation. And in Massachusetts, Nicholas, zero. We have not given one tax decrease in 2 years. We sit on $3.5 billion in the state house and have not done one single tax decrease. Every resident of Massachusetts should be frustrated and upset with our current state legislature. There is no reason for it. When the rest of the country is experiencing tax reductions, we've done zero.
All right, Chris, we're going to take a break here. Stay on the lines. We have full lines for Chris Doty, and we'll be right back. We're at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Give yourselves a nice round of applause. Thank you all so much for coming out. And we will be right back. I have a few more questions for you too, Chris, so we'll be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are here at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and we're talking to Chris Doty, who's running for governor. I have to say, I'm really enjoying this. It's nice not to be in the hot seat. It's nice to have you over there sweating about what the callers are going to say, and I can just sit back and relax and enjoy some of the delicious food that was brought in from Gannon's Tavern. Mike Gannon, we want to give you a big shout out. Thank you so much for all of the flatbreads, the wings.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
The wings are must be like a bestseller, right? Because they're going like hotcakes.
They are one of our signature dishes, you know. So yeah, I brought some flatbreads, and because it was you and Howie, I dug deep and got some lobster rolls as well for you. So
we really appreciate that. I know Howie does. He's grinning from ear to ear as we speak. Let's give Mike Gannon another round of applause, everybody. Thank you so much, Mike. And Where can people stop by Gannon's Tavern, and where can they find you online?
So we are at 959 Bierce's Way in Hyannis, and our website is gannonstavern.com. And our phone number, which I forgot last time I was on Howie's show, was 508-827-4931.
Awesome.
I even wrote it down.
Perfect. And we're going to be there in a couple weeks, and everyone can come see us. Thank you again to Mike Gannon. And I've taken my pizza, put it over here because it's going really quickly, so I had to get my slices. All right, let's go back to the callers here. But before we do, Chris Doty, I have a question for you. When you were on Howie's program and you were debating Jeff Diehl, you said something that I think stuck out to a lot of people. You said, Jeff can't beat Mara Healy. And you kept saying that over and over again. And I think that one of the things that made it tricky for Jeff is that he is a little bit more reserved. He's not, and I get the same vibe from you that you're a very polite, almost too nice, not really a fighter. So my question is, like, why are you going to be able to beat her if Jeff can't? Because you do give off a nice guy vibe.
The nice guy vibe.
Yeah. Well, that didn't come out as tough of a question as I thought, but.
Well, Grace, and you come off as nice too.
Thank you.
So I think, you know, part of being a governor is being able to get along with a lot of people and building coalitions and all that. It's you know, if you just look at the numbers for about 2 minutes, you can see that Jeff can't win. You just can see it because, again, when he ran for the state Senate, which included his own hometown, he lost. And these were just 40,000 people in his own area. When he ran for the U.S. Senate, he lost by a significant margin. He's been typecast in a way that just makes him not electable in our state. Our state is more, I would say, more moderate, more, they just have a different leaning. And he's typecast himself in a way he just can't win. And we as Republicans, we know that. We can see it. I think he knows that. We all know that. So we have to put someone up against Moore that can actually win. Now, why can I win? There's a couple reasons. One is I'm a job creator. I have created more jobs in the state of Massachusetts than my two opponents, Jeff and Moore, combined. And that's a big part of what a governor does, is to have a strong economy and good jobs. I know the strengths. I know the weaknesses of our state. I know exactly what we need to do. Number two is that we need a balance in the state house. Everyone in this room, if you ask them, do you think we should have a balance in the state house, that we have a fiscally responsible governor with a very progressive legislature? Everyone will tell you, yes, we need that. It's part of the miracle of Massachusetts is that for 30 years, we've been able to, basically for 30 years, we've been able to keep a balance between having this progressive legislature that would spend every dollar in everyone's pocket, but we have a fiscally responsible governor that can be a balance, a counterbalance to it. And that's how I can win, is by being fiscally responsible and being a balance to the state house and bringing that executive level experience that I have. I have 30 years of executive level experience running a large, complex organization. Things like the MBTA, I'm very equipped to solve. Debt problems, medical problems, issues with you know, the universities, and all those types of problems, I'm equipped, I'm trained for, and I can do it. I look forward to the debate with Mara Healy. I can compete with her. I can challenge her. The direction she wants to take our state, I believe, is the wrong direction for our state to go, and I really look forward to presenting it. I've already accepted the debates with Mara, and she's accepted the debates too. So I really look forward to that moment of getting our conservative, fiscally conservative message out on the debate stage.
All right, Chris, when we come back, we're going through rapid fire all of these calls, and you'll be able to answer more questions from the listeners. We're at Cape Gunworks and Hyannis. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, so come on by. You can meet me, you can meet Howie. It's going to be a really fun time. Don't go anywhere. We're right back with Chris Doty. Be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and you can come by. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Congratulations to Jeffrey, who's the gas money winner for today. And just a little side note for everyone, the Lieutenant Governor debate will be next Wednesday on the Howie Carr Show from 6 to 7. Again, that's next Wednesday from 6 to 7, so you'll definitely want to check that out. Chris Doty is with me now. We're going to go right to the callers here. Jack, you are next up with Chris Doty, who's running for governor of Massachusetts. What's your question, Jack?
Thank you, Grace. Love the show. Hi, Mr. Doty. I just was hoping to get your opinion on the newest climate law passed through the legislature, specifically the municipal fossil fuel ban pilot project.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jack. Yeah, that just passed, that bill. And it's interesting how they're now talking about turning off natural gas to buildings in our state. But I think they forget that the electricity they're converting to is created from natural gas. So it doesn't really make any sense, does it?
yeah, that's something liberals have never been able to wrap their heads around.
Yeah, that we right now, two-thirds of our electricity comes from natural gas. So when you convert a building over to electricity, you're basically still using natural gas. So I think we're getting ahead of our skis on this one. I think we have to work on renewables. We have to work on having a good supply of energy. Then we can start talking about doing those types of things. We're getting ahead of ourselves on that, in my opinion. We need, right now in Massachusetts, we have the third highest electric rates in America and going to maybe the second highest in America. It is crushing our citizens. It's crushing all of us. The amount we pay for electricity is almost double what you would pay 400 miles south of here. And you might ask yourself, well, why is that? Why is electricity so expensive in Massachusetts? It's because people like Maura Healey sued to stop the natural gas pipelines from coming into our state. This decreased the supply of energy, which drove up our prices. Here's the long-term consequences. Many businesses like Raytheon have said, I can't afford to live here. I can't afford to operate my operation here, and they're starting to leave. I have talked to so many business owners that said, I cannot afford the high cost of energy in our state. Down here on the Cape, where we are right now, the citizens on the Cape pay some of the highest electric rates in America as a result of this. So as governor, on day one, we're going to start having conversations about bringing in natural gas, bringing in the hydro, using the renewables, getting our supply back up to start bringing the prices down to start saving everyone on their electric bills.
All right, let's go to Hook. You're next up with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Hook.
Hi, thank you for having me. Chris, I just had a question, a couple of questions. It's nice to hear you on the radio. I'm a longtime Republican. Just really wanted to know why you voted for Hillary Clinton and why don't you support Trump?
Okay, thank you. Is it Hook? So Hook, I've been really honest on this from the very beginning, and my opponent, Jeff Diehl, has not been honest. And that's the difference between us on this. So here's the story. In 2018, when my opponent Jeff ran for the U.S. Senate, the Boston Globe discovered that in 2008 he had pulled a Democratic primary ballot. Now, we don't know who he voted for. We just know he voted as a Democrat at the beginning of that election. So the Globe found that out, and they approached my opponent and said, who'd you vote for? The campaign team talked about it, and they said because Biden had been the most moderate, they came back and said, Jeff Diehl said, I voted for Biden. What they didn't realize is that 2 months before that election, Biden had dropped out of the race. He wasn't even in the race. So my opponent, Jeff Diehl, voted for either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. When you look at Whitman, where he lives, it was most likely Hillary Clinton. So for this entire campaign, he has been throwing me under the bus because of this. But I was honest, where he probably made the exact same vote, but has been dishonest. So for all of his supporters, everyone needs to ask him, why don't you be honest? At least Doty's an honest man.
You did vote for Hillary Clinton.
I did. And in 20...
Did you regret it?
Well, I can't tell you how many times. In 2020...
You can, though. You should tell us a few times. I think that would help people a little bit.
In 2020, I voted for Donald Trump. I became a big supporter, and I've been on the press throughout Massachusetts. And I have been with the mainstream media. There is one person in Massachusetts that's a candidate that has been defending the policies of Donald Trump, and that's Chris Doty. That's me. I've done the Boston Globe. I've done OTR. I have done every challenging media, and I've been defending the policies of Donald Trump. It's just me. And on the other side of the primary, I will keep doing what I've been doing, which is defending those policies. And you know what? When I go up against Maura Healey, I'm going to point out again that the policies that that President Trump brought to our country are some of the same policies we need here in Massachusetts. Pro-business, pro-energy, a good, strong economy, those types of things. Lower taxes, greater opportunities for our citizens.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Hook. Let's go to Nicole. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi. Well, first of all, thank you for this opportunity to ask a question. Mr. Doty, thank you for being so receptive to getting questions. I want to know why you think Jeff Gill is avoiding debates.
Yeah, okay, that's such an important question because debates are so important, right? For us in democracy, you want to see the two candidates. You want to be able to choose between these two candidates, and it's been a real shame. And I'm sorry for all of us as Republicans. We missed one of the greatest opportunities maybe in our lifetime to have two Republicans on the ticket and one Democrat. Imagine, we could have done town halls, we could have done debates, we could have done every media source. We could have built a conservative message, we could have built a conservative movement in our state, and we lost it by Jeff not being able to do or not willing to do debates. It's a shame for all of us, and I feel sorry for all of us. I have been saying from the very beginning, what an opportunity that we could have two on our ticket and only one on their ticket. I can't speculate to why he's won't debate. He's offered five different reasons. They keep changing. But I can't tell you this. He wrote an email to all of his supporters saying that Chris was afraid and was hiding in the basement. Well, it turns out that was a fib. It wasn't true, right? So now he had to change it. And he came up with a new one. It turns out that was a fib. And so lately, this last week, he came up with his last one, which was that it's not his job to help the liberal media. So I don't know his reasons for not doing debates. I do know this, and all of us that were supporters of Jeff in the Senate race, he doesn't do well in debates. We actually I had to turn off the TV about halfway through that first debate, if you all remember, against Elizabeth Warren. It was so painful to watch it. She got stronger and stronger. Jeff got weaker and weaker and weaker. I didn't even watch the other two debates, which he lost by a large margin. So I think part of it might just be he doesn't want to debate because he doesn't do well in that situation.
Chris, I don't want to backtrack here, but I do have to ask you a follow-up because something stuck in my mind now. You said that you did support Trump in 2020.
Correct.
What about 2024?
Yeah, as I've said on the record many times, that I'm a lifelong Republican. I grew up with both parents were strong Republicans. I almost always have gone with the nominee for our party.
Okay. Just wanted to double check that. We got some texts in, people wondering. Let's go to Anne. You're next up with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Anne.
Hi, Chris. This is Anne. Thanks for taking my call. One quick question. I don't think Maura Hill has been very truthful about her record. How do you hold her accountable?
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, so Anne, I've published a website. It's called StopMauraHealey.com. Everybody go there. You'll love it. We're building content every day of all the things that she said that's different than what she's doing. And this is so important. And I want to highlight this and put an exclamation mark on it. The beginning of this week, she started running an ad. And her ad says she's going to lower taxes and make the state more affordable. She's become me. She's chosen my message to campaign on. Can you believe that? And so this week, just 2 days ago, we went to the State House and we had a press conference and we called her out on it and said, there is no way she can say that she's for lower taxes because in the last 5 years or 8 years that she's been in office, she has done nothing but propose higher taxes. The carbon tax, the Transportation Carbon Initiative, the no state aid to the local communities, which will increase your property taxes, no gas tax holiday. I could go on and on and on. And now she's campaigning for office, trying to get votes, and all of a sudden now she believes in lower taxes. Then she has the audacity to say to us, I'm going to make the state more affordable, when the reality is she's one of the reasons our state is not affordable. She's one of the reasons we have the highest electric rates in America. Now she sends ads out or puts ads out on the air saying, I'm now for affordability and tax decreases. As conservatives and as citizens and as voters, we've got to hold her accountable. And we all have to know, do not listen to what she says. Look at what she's done. They are different now. Remember Deval Patrick. For those of us who were around during Deval Patrick, do you remember he campaigned on lowering property taxes? You all remember that? We're all nodding our heads. Yes. What did he do within a few years of being elected? The largest tax increase in the history of Massachusetts, running on a lower tax campaign. Maura Healey, we know this playbook. We've watched this play out. We know exactly what this looks like. Say you're for lower taxes while you're campaigning, and as soon as you're in the office, bring them up.
All right, Chris, let's go to Rick. You're next up. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Rick.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really have a good question. How are you going to help taxpayers?
Well, that's great. We've been talking about that some here today. Well, one is I want to beat William Weld. Remember Governor Weld? He lowered taxes 10 times during his term. I want to beat him. And guess what? There are 30 states in America that have already lowered taxes multiple times. I was with Governor Sununu up in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago. He was proud that they're on their 10th tax decrease since inflation has occurred. And again, we're at zero. So I have a whole tax plan. I've gone through some of them here, but there's so many opportunities for us to start whittling away. And again, my goal is to beat William Weld at the number of tax relief that we offer.
All right, let's go to Jack. You're next up with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, Jack.
Good, good. So we have three candidates. We have Deal, who, like you said, gets clobbered every time he runs. Then we have Moira Healey, who, you know, is the attorney general. How can Chris the businessman do the job better than the other two people?
Well, thanks, Jack. I really appreciate that question. You know, when you look at what a governor does, okay, for a living, what the job is, there's a few things. Number one is they have the responsibility for the economy and the jobs. That's where I come from, Jack. That's my background. For 30 years, I've been creating jobs here in Massachusetts. I have struggled. I've had good years. I've had bad years. I know what the problems are. I know why businesses and organizations don't come to Massachusetts. Do you realize how much investment dollars don't come to Massachusetts? They're going to Tennessee, Florida, North Carolina. They don't come here. It's a result of the problems that people like me have lived with for three decades here. So I know what our problems are, and I know how to fix it. And I know the citizens want governors that know how to have a strong economy. The other thing is I'm fiscally responsible. I really am. I've had to measure every dollar in my life. I've never had government money. I've always had to compete. States are competitive organizations. We have to compete with North Carolina, Connecticut, Tennessee. And so that's my story. That's my background. I'm accustomed to having high goals, building teams, achieving our objectives, and competing. And so I'm the only one in this race. There's only three of us. I'm the only one that has that background. To my right is an extremist. To my left is an extremist. Then there's this businessman in the middle that captures 80% of the exhausted middle that wants the state to be affordable, successful, and to have a good economy. Hence, you have Chris Doty, the man that has spent his whole life in the state living with both good and bad policy. I know what it looks like. The founders of our country always imagined people like me. They always imagined people at the end of their career, not lifetime career politicians, stepping out of their comfortable business life to say, here, I know what the problems are. I know how to fix it. I have the skills. I have the background. And I don't need this job for my paycheck. I do it as a give back to the good people of our state.
When we come back, we'll take some more questions. Some people are texting in asking why you didn't appear on Jeff Cooner's show. Well, guess what? He already answered that question. You'll have to listen to the podcast. Go to gracecurlyshow.com and start it from the beginning, because we're not backtracking here at the Grace Curley Show. All right, when we come back, we'll take the rest of your calls. We're here at Cape Gunworks. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We want to give a huge thank you to Cape Gunworks for having us here today. But the party continues. Howie Carr is here, and we'll be doing the show till 6 o'clock. All right, now, we only have a few minutes left, Chris, so we're going to go rapid fire through these questions. Joanna, you're next with Chris Doty, who's running for governor. Go ahead, Joanna.
Hi. I want to ask the question. You said you own a business with a lot of people. During the requirement for vaccination, did you let the people who did not want to be vaccinated stay, or did they lose their job? And also, people asked for exemptions. Did you grant them that?
Okay, thank you for asking, Joanna. No, I did not fire anyone, and no, I did not make it a requirement for employment.
All right. Easy, easy answer. Good question. Lynn, you're up next with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, Mr. Doty. As an independent, or now called unenrolled, I've been following the candidates closely, and I'm in favor of much of what you stand for. But my question for you today is, do you support licenses for illegal immigrants?
Lynn, I do not support licenses for illegal immigrants. And I have been actively trying to get enough signatures. Our campaign has been trying to contribute as many of those as we can. I believe it's not good policy for multiple reasons. And since we're on a rapid fire here, I don't have time to go into all of it. But one of them is just voting. Voting. Whenever someone says driver's license is for illegal immigrants, the word I want everybody to think is voting. So if we can, as governor, I'll have some flexibility on how to implement the law if it does go through, to sort of separate out those licenses which are those that can vote and those that you cannot vote. So anyway, I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Lynn. Let's go to Dan. You're next up with Chris Doty. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, Chris. You accused Deal of being difficult to work with, but that's kind of what I want. I like a Trump kind of a guy, you know? I don't want somebody that works with establishment people. So how would you handle it differently? And how are you going to beat Healy when I can't even find one of your signs? Maybe I should go to Cambridge?
Okay.
Check out.
All right, well, Deanna, I think I heard you say like a sign. We'll make sure we get you one. Here's the thing with my opponent, Jeff. When he was in the state legislature, he just couldn't get along with anyone. Even to his admission, he said he couldn't get along with anyone. As a result of that, in his 10 years in the state, do you know how many bills he passed? Zero. He didn't really make much of a difference. He did one home rule bill, which was just a minor. So he didn't accomplish anything. You wouldn't even know he was in the state legislature. So you have to learn to work with people in politics. And that's an important trait and an important skill to get things accomplished.
Chris Doty, running for governor of Massachusetts. Thank you for coming out. Thank you to the callers. And thank you to Cape Gunworks. Come on down. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. This is the Grace Curley Show.